Okay, good morning. So we'll do the sponsorships while it's still 5:44. So this month, Talmud Torah is sponsored by the Lerner family in memory of Mrs. Dina Lerner Gerber, Zichron Levracha, and in the merit of an aliyah for her neshama. Okay, and with that, we will start today's daf is daf nun dalet. It's the beginning of the ninth parak. The ninth parak has one very long mishnah at the front, and then that's it for the rest of the parak. And we've dealt with many different types of brachos, and here we're going to be dealing with the brachos of birchas shevach, which are different things that cause one to give gratitude or thanks to. I'm sorry. I think so. There's something that causes them to give a gratitude to the Rabbanu Shalom. Rishonim explain that by instituting different brachas at different points, it brings the Rabbanu Shalom into people's daily lives. Okay, so we're going to say as follows: Haroa Makom Shenasu Bo Nisim LiYisrael. If someone sees a place that Nisim, that miracles happen for Klal Yisrael, we'll see examples that come in the Gemara, but these are basically national things. The poskim discuss exactly what is required. It seems to require that it be relevant to at least half of Klal Yisrael or majority of Klal Yisrael. Some say that it's anything that causes an opportunity for Kiddush Shemayim. But also they debate whether it has to be a true miracle. It just has to be. It could be an instance of Ashkacha Pratis, something that shows God's hand in the world. It doesn't necessarily have to be a complete miracle. So a lot of different discussion about this. But in any event, if someone sees the place that miracles happen to Klal Yisrael Omer, he should say Baruch Shasa Nisim Avosenu B'Makom Hazeh. That he should say that blessed is Hashem who did miracles for our forefathers in this place. Tosos, at the top Tosos over there, says, Pirush Rabbi Shmaya, the Chol Hani Brachos, Tzrichos La'askar Shem Umalchus, that all of these Brachos, even though the Mishnah says, Baruch She'asa Nisim Avosenu B'Makom Hazeh, it means Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, that he has to say Shem Umalchus, he says Hashem's name. Some explain there's a halacha that when one's learning, you could say Hashem's name if it comes up in psukim, but not if it's in brachos, you shouldn't say it. So saying that really that's why unless you're really making a bracha, you shouldn't use Shem Hashem, and that's why the Mishnah skips it. But Tosos points out that you should say Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. There are other Rishonim, most notably the Ravid, who disagrees and says that you would actually not say Shem Malchus. Ultimately, we paskin that you do, although there are brachas that come later that we'll see that it's less clear what it's for, so the minhag is in those instances, if it's not 100% clear what the bracha is for or when it's said, so then you would say it without Shem Malchus. Okay, so also one other thing you see sometimes is that there's discussion about if you don't know exactly the place where something happened, so it seems that you wouldn't say the bracha, but the mefarshim and the poskim say that even if it's a place where you arguably could make a bracha, you should make some kind of gratitude or expression of thanks to the Rabbon Shalom, independent of the bracha. Continues the Mishnah, third line: Makom shenekru mimenu akum, Omer baruch sheakar akum meartzenu. If you see some place that avodah zarah was uprooted, then he should say, "Blessed Hashem that uprooted." Avodas Kochavim Mazalos, which is what Akum stands for, but it means Avodah Zarah, Me'artzenu, from our land. So by the word Me'artzenu, many of the Mefarshim understand that this is specifically an instance that happens in Eretz Yisrael. There are others who disagree, but that seems to be the consensus view. And also discussion whether it has to be fully uprooted or just an instance. And some say if it's just an instance, the bracha, the language would be adjusted slightly. Continues the Mishnah, getting into things that we say more frequently. Alazikin, Zikin, we'll see the Gemara is going to discuss, is really a shooting star. V'alazvos, which is something that shakes, so it's an earthquake. V'ala ra'amim, and thunder. V'ala ruchos, on the winds. V'ala barakim, on lightning. So not even all of these aren't necessarily a good thing. Like an earthquake is not a good thing, but it's an instance where you see the might of the Rabbanu Shalom, you see his power. So Amar Baruch Shekocho Gvurasa Malayolam, that we say that his strength fills the world, because these things are large scale occurrences that seem to fill the world. V'yala harim, v'yala gvos, v'yala yamim, v'yala naharos, v'yala minbaros, Omer Baruch Oseh Bereishis. So, or some say, says Baruch Osa Masa Bereshis. So this is, if someone sees mountains or hills, seas, rivers, or deserts, he should say Baruch Osa Masa Bereshis. Now, obviously, or maybe not obviously, but this is talking about, instances where these inspire awe of some sort. So, obviously if you see a little hill, in your backyard, that's not necessarily what you'd make the bracha, but it's for ones that tend to, are beautiful in nature or large, and those are the things that you should make a bracha on it. Rabbi Yehuda says, Haroes Hayama Gadol, Amar Baruch She'asas Hayama Gadol. Rabbi Yehuda says, if you happen to see the Yama Gadol, the large sea, there's lots of discussion about what exactly this is, but many understand it to be a reference to the Mediterranean Sea, which is the sea that opens up, to Eretz Yisrael. Others understand the Atlantic Ocean or whatever it is, but if you see the Yama Gadol, you should say, Baruch She'asas Yama Gadol, that, you should make a bracha to the Ribbono Shel Olam who made the Yama Gadol. Mefarshim point out that Rabbi Yehuda is the one that we had this before, that when it comes to brachos, he used to try to give as specific a bracha as possible. So this is another instance where he specifies a specific bracha that's not covered in the general category of Osa Maaseh Bereishis. Continues the Mishnah, the second to last thin line, Bizman Shera'uhu La'Prakim. That when do you say these things? So when we talk about things that happen, like let's say thunder or lightning, obviously if it happens, you say it, and if it happens tomorrow, you say it again. When we talk about things that inspire awe, like mountains or things like that, or seeing the Yama Gadol, you should say it when you see Laprakim, only when you see it every so often. You don't say it every day. If you live near the Mediterranean Sea, you wouldn't make the bracha every single day. We're going to see that it means 30 days. If you see the end of that same first Tosos, he says, he references that it also seems to relate to the earlier things that were said. So if someone goes where Nace was made for his forefathers, he would say only every 30 days. Continues the Mishnah, Al Gashamim, V'al Basuras Tovas, on rains. Now obviously this is talking about in Eretz Yisrael, where rain was needed for agriculture, and it also didn't come the entire summer, so they would be waiting for it in the winter, so it was a very positive occurrence when it would rain. So the Geshamim or Besoros Tovus, if someone hears good tidings, Omer, he should say Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv, blessed Hashem who's the good and who does good with others. Al Besoros Ros or some say Al Shmuos Ros, when they hear negative things, Omer Baruch Dina Emes, he should say that and ours accept upon themselves that Hashem's judgment is true. And even something that seems bad, nonetheless, gets a bracha. We'll talk about this a little bit more later. Continues the Mishnah: Bana bayis chadash v'kana kelim chadashim. If someone buys, builds himself a new house or acquires new utensils, Omer baruch shechiyanu v'kimanu v'higiyanu lazman hazeh. He should make a shechiyanu because this is a significant occasion for him. So, for this reason, many people, when they get a new suit, they say it. Many people have the occasion not to do it because it really has to be the kind of significant occasion that truly makes someone happy. So if getting a suit makes someone very happy, they should make the bracha. People have a custom to make the bracha sometimes if they get a new car. There seems to be a distinction that Shechiyanu is like a personal bracha. If it's something that benefits others, he might make a Hatova Meitiv. But surely this concept exists that if someone has the opportunity to get something that's very meaningful to them and makes them happy, they should make a Shechiyanu. Mevarach ha'ara me'ein. In fact, it's interesting. That's the reason, for example, like we don't do certain things like during the 3 weeks, you don't buy new clothing. Is not so much because you shouldn't have new clothing. They say it's because you would say a Shechiyanu, and it's not an appropriate time to say a Shechiyanu. Mevarach continues the mission. Mevarach ha'ara me'ein ala tova ve'al tova me'ein ala ra. So the Gemara will discuss this, but it basically means that if something happens that's negative, but it has a silver lining, so to speak, or you have something that is basically positive but comes with a negative attribute to it, the Gemara will give examples of this, then nonetheless you should make a bracha, even though it's not full-fledged positive or full-fledged negative, you would still make the bracha as appropriate, Dayana MS or Hatovi Ametiv. continues the Mishnah, third wide line. Vatsoak lisha avar hareze tfila shav. If someone cries out, meaning they daven for something that's already happened, it's a tfila shav. It's a wasted tfila. So what are examples? Says the Mishnah, haisa ishto meuberes. If his wife is pregnant, va'omer, and he says, yiratzon shetelet ishti zachar, that, it should be the will of Hashem that my wife should have a son. Harezu tfila shav. That's a wasted tfila. Why? So the Mepharshim explained we're dealing after the 40th day. We know from the 40th day the gender of the uber is established. So once it's established, if the child is female or male, then it doesn't help to daven that it should change. The Gemara will later discuss the question of dina, but that's obviously an exception, not the norm. So that's considered tefillah shav. If something's already occurred, don't daven because you can't change the outcome with your tefillos. Hayababa derech, if he's coming on the way, v'shama, another example, v'shama kol tzvacha be'ir, and he hears shouting in the city, v'omer, and he says, yiratzon shalotahei b'sof beisi, and he says, daven to Hashem, this shouldn't be coming from my house. Harezu tefiloshav, that's again a tefiloshav, because whatever happened, happened. They're yelling because something happened. He's not going to change that occurrence. Now, people, they say he can daven if it's in his home, no one should be hurt, or people should get the help they need, or whatever it is. But to try and go backwards and change reality is inappropriate. There's a very interesting Brisker Rav who discusses the story that Sarah says Chamasi Alecha to Avram Avinu. She complains to Avram Avinu that you didn't daven for me after Hagar. So what happened is Avram Avinu had said Anochi Holech Ariri, that he said he didn't want to go childless, and the Rabbanu Shalom ultimately granted it and gave him Yishmael. So Sarah had complaints with Avram Avinu. She said, why didn't you daven for me? You daven just for yourself. What's going on here? So so what was Avram thinking? Why didn't he daven in the schus of both of them? So the Brisker Rav explains that basically the Gemara says Sarah Kara ein la vlad, that she didn't have children, meaning she didn't even have the base rechem, she didn't have a womb, she didn't have the her body didn't have the parts to have a child. So therefore he says that's a reality, is that she was not able to have children, or she's fundamentally missing. He says you can't daven on a bria chadasha, on like just creating something new out of whole cloth. And that was Avram Avinu's cheshbon, why he didn't daven specifically for Sarah, is because that would be a tefillah shav. It would be a wasted tefillah, because the reality was that she was not in a position to give birth. Obviously, the Rabbanu Shalom made a nes and changed it later, but he explains that's what Avram Avinu's thinking was. Hanichnas lekrach. Someone comes into a city, mispalo shtayim, he should daven twice, achas b'knisas of achas b'yitziyos. So again, this is just introducing the idea, daily occurrences, people should give thanks to Rabbanu Shalom. So if he's going into a city, Rashi explains, a city where it has moshlim ra'im, bad governors, umechapshim alilos, they're seeking instances to cause trouble or to arrest people, so it's a bad city. So he should make a tefillah when he goes in and when he goes out, thanking Hashem, or is asking Hashem's mercy when he goes in and out, or in some Farshan's opinion, it's a thank you there. We're going to see that also right now. Ben Azay says, Arba, he should make four brachas. Shtayim b'chnisaso, shtayim b'tziyaso, he should make two brachas going in and two going out. What are those? Nosin hoda al sha'avar, v'tzolek ala asid. He should give a bracha of thanks that he was able to make it to this point, and that he hasn't been harmed, and that he should daven ala asid, that he shouldn't come to any harm, both when he goes in and he goes out of the city. Continues the Mishnah, Chayv adam levarach al ra, kishem shem levarach al tova, that someone needs to make a bracha on the bad, just like they make the bracha on the good. Shenemar v'ahavta es Hashem elokecha b'chol levavcha. So we're going to see, actually, it's only going to be at the end of this, darshaning this pasuk, that we're going to see exactly why, but we're going to darshan the pasuk v'ahavta es Hashem. It says, you should love Hashem b'chol levavcha b'shnei yitzirecha. When it says, with all your heart, it could have said libcha, your heart, with one vase. It says it with two, so it's telling you shnei yitzirecha b'yetzer tov v'yetzer hara, with your yetzer tov and your yetzer hara, your evil inclination, your good inclination. So obviously many people discuss, what does that mean? What does that mean to serve the Rabbanu Shalom with your yetzer hara? So lots of explanations. One of the more common ones is it refers to ruchnias and gashmias. You have spiritual things and you have physical things. You should use both your spiritual faculties and your physical gifts to serve the Rabbanu Shalom. Others understand that it's something along the lines that you could learn from the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara has all kinds of tricks to get you to do things. Like, for example, it'll trick you into procrastinating or wasting time. So you could do the same thing for an Avera. You could say, you know what, I might do it, but I'm not going to do it now. You use the tricks, so to speak, of the Rabbanu Shalom. There are many, many things. I'll say one more that the Kedushas Levi in the Likutim, I'm going to give you a little bit of homework, but he says the idea that you could learn from the Yetzer Hara. He says, like, the Yetzer Hara can convince us on something so inconsequential, it can get us to take actions, to go pursue things and to be inspired to do things. So in similar fashion, you should be able to learn a Kal Vachomer that if your Yetzer Hara can get you to do those things, it should get you to do good things. I reference this because he actually, it's a longer thing, and that's what I give you for homework, but he uses that explanation to explain why on Rosh Chodesh we say Barchi Nafshi. So you can go look there. It's a little bit longer. So in any event, so you should serve Hashem with both your Yetzer Tov, Yetzer Hara. Others explain that, for example, there's elements of the Yetzer Hara that help us. So, like, for example, the whole idea that we procreate and are attracted to people of the opposite gender and have children, that comes from an element of the Yetzer Hara. So lots of different explanations. Continues the mission. B'chol nafshecha, afilu notos nafshecha, that you have to serve God with your nefesh, means even if the Rabbanu Shalom takes your life, there are certain averas that you can't be over, you can't violate, and you would have to die sooner than violate them. B'chol mo'odecha, b'chol mo'onecha, that when you serve Hashem, b'chol mo'odcha, mo'odecha is saying with all of your money. Now you might say, well, what about the fact that money, it tells you up to a fifth or a third or things. All of those relate to mitzvah saseh, positive commandments. So to go out and buy a lulav, you don't need to give more than a certain percentage of your income, but to avoid a mitzvah lo saseh, you would give up your money. Davar acher, another explanation, and this is actually the one that relates to what we're saying, b'chol mo'odecha, with all of your odecha, b'chol mida umida shu modid lecha, have modelo. So a lot of similar sounding words. So to play that with every mida, whatever it is that Ribbono Shel Olam measures out to you, you should give thanks to him. So this is the idea, kishem shemavarech al tov, kach mavarech al ra. There's a famous, in honor of the rabbi, we'll say Hasidic story. There's a famous story, I think, with the Mizritcher Magid, that people came to him and said, how could it be that you should be Mavarach al-Ra, Kishem Shemavarach al-Tov? How does it work like that? So he sent them to Reb Zusha. He said, go ask him. So they went to Reb Zusha, and he says, I have no idea why the Magid would send you to me. He said, I've never had something bad happen to me in my life. So I don't know why he'd send you here. So, okay, understand from that. Continues the Mishnah. Lo yakol adam es rosha keneged shahar hamizrach, shu mechuvin keneged beis kodshei hakodeshim. So he says that that you should... so we talked just now about Ava. So the Mefarshim explained that now it switches to Yira. So it says a person shouldn't be lightheaded, shouldn't do inappropriate things opposite the eastern gate. So this is the eastern gate to the city of Yerushalayim or to the Har Bayis complex. Shumachuvin Kineged Beis Kodshei HaKadoshim. So Rashi explains that because all of the gates were lined up, there was a short wall that was at the base. Rashi says, and then all of the you have the Shar Ezer's Nashim to go into the Ezer's Nashim of the Beis Hamikdash, Shar Ezer's Yisrael to go further into the courtyard where the ulam is, Upesach ulam, the gate, the opening of the ulam itself, the hechel and the opening to the hechel, which was past the ulam, Upes Kachay Hakadoshim, Bimei Mikdash Rishon, Kushaya Amatraksim. When there used to be a wall, there was an opening in the wall with a curtain. So basically, if you were standing on, let's say, Har Zesim, and you're looking toward the Beis HaMikdash, you could theoretically see straight through all the way till the Beis Kodshei HaKadoshim. So therefore, you have to comport yourself with a certain degree of restraint and not have Kalos Rosh when you're there. Mm-hmm. Continues with the more specific cases, which are learned from Psukim. Lo Yikanes Lahar Abayis, he shouldn't go into Har Abayis, but Maklo with his stick, Minalo, with his shoes, Upundaso, with his a money belt, Uba Avak Shaal Raglov, or the dust that's on his feet. So these are considered kavod of the Beis Hamikdash and in turn of the Rabbanu Shalom, whose place it is. V'lo yasenu kapandaria, that you shouldn't, we'll see what it means, but it means you shouldn't use a shul or the Beis Hamikdash as a shortcut. We paskin that way, and therefore if someone is in fact going through a shul, he should sit down and say a pasuk or something, so it's not just that he's using a shul as a shortcut. Rukika mekavachomer, and surely he shouldn't spit. There's a kavachomer. We'll see in the Gemara what the kavachomer is. Okay, continues the Mishnah. So what is this talking about? So Rashi explains, brings from the Gemara in Tainis, that basically they would say every bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokei Yisrael Min Ha'olam V'Ad Ha'olam Baruch Chonei Nadas, for example, Rashi says. So they would add this thing, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokei Yisrael Min Ha'olam V'Ad Ha'olam, they would add it to every bracha. And then ultimately people would answer Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Li'olam Vayed. Some of the Rishonim understand that those are connected, but in any event, they used to say Min Ha'olam V'Ad Ha'olam. So, what the Mishnah says, initially, they would just say, again, different Gersos. They would either say just Min Ha'olam, or they would say just Ad Ha'olam, but they didn't say Min Ha'olam V'Ad Ha'olam. They didn't say twice the word Olam, which means world. So they would say it just once. Mishakilkulu Atstukim. When the Tzdukim messed this up, or in the Girsa and the Mishnah, the Masoreth Hashas brings is the Minin, that they're just regular people who used to challenge the Chachamim, largely because the Tzdukim were came out of Tzadok, and Tzadok and Baisus were Talmidim of Antiknas Ish Socho. They came later than Ezra. So, but in any event, so there were Minim who would basically say Va'amru, they would say Ein Olam Ela Echad. There's only one world. They basically, it's one of the interesting things, we don't have time to address it now, but the Kli Yakar gives many reasons for this. In the entire Torah, it never references Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba. There's nowhere in the Torah where it's expressly written that way. And we know that Tzdukim and the Minim who came before it, they didn't believe in the words of the Chachamim. They only believed in things that were written in the Torah. So therefore they said, we don't buy this entire concept, which is obviously among our Ikare Emunah, the fundamentals of our belief that there's Olam Haba, but they said we don't believe in it because it's not written in the Torah. So therefore, Hiskinu Shi'eyomrim in Olam Ad Olam, that they were Misakein, that they should say Min Olam Yad Olam, which is saying from this world and until another world, which makes clear that there are in fact two worlds out there. They also made a takana. Some connect these two. So this next halacha that we're about to say, the Rambam doesn't bring, Rav Salvechik, others say that it was a harash shah. It was specific to the time, much like it was with the tzdukim. Others understand that this applies and they apply it to halacha nowadays. But they say that they were misakin she'adam sholos chaver shlom chaver b'shem, that someone could or should, discussion could or should, use the name of Hashem when he's greeting his friend. So this would be, as Rashi explains, not something that's intuitive to us. It's not an appropriate use of the Rabbanu Shalom's name to just, randomly greet your friend using the name of Hashem. So it's not something you think you would do. But nonetheless, they were misakin that you could in fact do that. Shenemar, where do we see a source for that? In Rus, it says, V'hine Boaz ba mi Beis Lechem, that Boaz came from Beis Lechem. V'yomer lakotrim, he met the people who were harvesting the fields, and he said, Hashem imachem, Hashem should be with you. V'yomru lo, and they said back to him, Yivarechecha Hashem, Hashem should bless you. So you see that in random encounters, they would use the name of Hashem. V'omer, and similarly, there you have the pasuk over there in Shoftim, where it says Vayar I love Malach Hashem Vayomer I love. This is speaking to Gidon, that the Malach Hashem came and said to him, Hashem Imcha Gibor Hachayo, that Hashem should be with you, your mighty warrior. So you see that you use the name of Hashem when you're greeting someone. Va'omer, and the pasuk also says Al Tavos. This is a pasuk in Mishle. It says V'Al Tavos Ki Zakna Imecha. He says you shouldn't denigrate that your mother is old. So what is that talking about? So Rashi explains that you can read this, that you should learn midivrei zikin, zikne umasecha. So it says zikne imecha is zikne umasecha, the elders of your nation, that basically you shouldn't denigrate them and you should do the things that you see that they did. So you see that Boaz was greeted people with the name of Hashem, you shouldn't make light of that. And generally speaking, you could look to those things that are done by your elders. Don't dismiss them and be dismissive of them, but rather you should learn from them. And that's how you see that we would greet in the name of Hashem. And continues the Mishnah addressing a different aspect, which is maybe it's disrespectful at a certain level. Va'omer, and he says, that there's a time to do for Hashem, to be mefer, to reject the Torah of Nasa, Omer, heferu tarascha, mishum eis lasos Hashem, that you could reject the Torah because the times require it. So the idea was that, again, why exactly they did this? It seemed to be that they're introducing the name of Hashem into aspects of our everyday life, that they felt that that was an important thing and to keep people from perhaps using the name of Avodah Zarah. So they instituted that you should greet people with the name of Hashem. Continues the Gemara, or starts the Gemara. Minani Mili, how do I know this idea that you make a bracha when there's a nace, or you make a bracha in the makom that there's a nace? Rav Yochanan says, Dama Krak, because the Pasuk says, Vayomer Yisrael, Baruch Hashem Asher Hitzil, Asher Hitzil Escha Miyad Mitzrayim, Miyad Paro, Asher Hitzil Sa'am Mitachas Yad Mitzrayim. So when Yisrael came, he blessed Hashem, he saved them from Mitzrayim. So you see there was a nace, and he created that bracha. I'll just tell you very quickly, because it's beautiful. The Ksav Sofer says something very interesting, because the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that it was a taina on Klal Yisrael, gnai to Klal Yisrael, that Yisrael had to be the first one who came and said Baruch and blessed on the Nes. The question is, but what do you mean? Klal Yisrael sang Shira, they were very grateful. So why was this complaint on them? And so, the Ksav Sofer explains that it says, Vayichad Yisrael, Yisrael is happy. The Gemara tells us, chidudim, that Yisro, there was an element of sadness to him, that because he was from Mitzrayim, and his nation got destroyed, and nonetheless, he was happy for Klal Yisrael. So he says, that was the time that the Gemara in Sanhedrin says it was Gnai, was not focused on the fact that they didn't say thank you to the Rabbanu Shalom for the Nisim. What they say is it actually relates to something else in our Mishnah. Kishem Shem Avarecha, that when there's an element of bad and an element of good, nonetheless, you make the blessing on the good. They're saying that was the time on Klal Yisrael that Yisro taught them that even when something bothered him, his own nation had become destroyed, nonetheless, he was happy for Klal Yisrael. So it's interesting because that Pasuk, you would think the Gemara is saying it's a time that they didn't thank, but it's actually a taina on the other aspect from our Mishnah that you didn't thank even when there's an element of negativity to it. In any event, continues the Gemara. Anisa de Rabim Mevarchinan, Anisa de Yachalom Mevarchinan. So what do you see? You see that the Mishnah said in the very beginning, you make a nace when a nace happens to Yisrael, to Klal Yisrael. So what do you see? You see that when do you make a bracha on a nace? Only when it happens to Klal Yisrael, but not if it were to happen to an individual person, he wouldn't make a bracha. Says the Gemara Vaha, he's going to say three stories. Ahu Gavra, the Havika Azo be'Eiver Yamina, that he was traveling in Eiver Yamina, which Rashi says is the south of the Pras, the river Pras. Nafal Aleh Aryeh, and a lion fell upon him. Isavid Le Nisa, a miracle happened. Ve'itzal Minei, and he was saved from it. Asal Kami de Rava, this man who was saved from the lion came in front of Rava. Ve'Amrleh, and he said, Kol Emas de Matis Lahasam Baruch Baruch Shasali Neis Bamakam Azeh. Anytime you get to that place where you're saved from the lion, you should make a bracha. Blessed is Hashem that did a miracle for me in this place. In that place. Umar Bre de Ravina. The Mar, the son of Ravina, Havikazo, Bipiksa, the Aravos, that he was going, Piksa, Rashi says, is a Bikas, the valley of Aravos, Bitsacha, Lamaya, he was thirsty for water, is Avidle Nisa, a miracle happened, Ivrele, Ena, the Maya, the Ishti, it was created for him, a spring of water, and he drank. Vesu Zimna Chada, another time, Havikazo, this is again, Mar Bre de Ravina, that he was Havikazo, but Ristika, the Mechuza, he was going, Rashi says, is a shuk of Mechuza in the market, Vinafala, Gamma, Pritza, a wild donkey came upon him. Isparkole Ashisa, that Rashi explains that the wall that he was next to somehow collapsed. Ol Gava, and he was able to go into the house or into the structure whose wall collapsed and get away from the wild camel. Kimatala Aravos, in the future, when Rabbi de Ravina would get to Aravos, he would make a bracha and say, Baruch Shasali Nes, Baravos Ubegamo. He would reference both things that happened to him. When he went to Aravos, he would mention Aravos first, but he says, blessed Hashem that did a nace for me in Aravos and also with a wild donkey, a wild camel. And kimata laristika to Mechuza, when he would get to the marketplace of Mechuza where he had the instance with the camel, Baruch, he would bless and say, Baruch Shasali Nes, Begamal Uba Aravos, that the miracle that happened to me with the Gamo, which was there, and also what happened to him in Aravos. Lots learned out from there, but we don't have time. So what's the question, though? We see three instances where individuals had something happen to them. This wasn't a Klal Yisrael miracle that he was saved from a donkey, or that he had water, or that a person was saved from a lion. So you see that people do make a bracha, even when it's an individual neis. So we say, Amri anisa de rabim kuli yama m'chayv levruchi, anisa de yachid iu chayv levruchi. So he says as follows, you're right, both an individual and for Klal Yisrael need to make a bracha, but the difference is as follows. I referenced before that it applies if a majority of Klal Yisrael were affected by a miracle, or there was a large miracle that was called Shemayim, so that obligates on everyone, even the people who weren't there, to say this was a bracha, where you make a bracha where something happened to all of Klal Yisrael, even if he wasn't, or most of Klal Yisrael, even if he wasn't part of it. Versus, if something happened to my friend, I'm happy for him, but it doesn't mean I go and make a bracha. Children maybe do say a bracha, Talmidim might say a bracha, but an average person does not have to make a bracha for a nace that happened to someone else. But if it happened to Klal Yisrael, they need to say it. Tan Rabbanan, Haroa, Mavros, okay, so we're gonna list a bunch of things here. That places where you go, these were nisim that happened to Klal Yisrael. I'm not going to explain them as we go through, because the Gemara is now going to walk through each of them individually. But someone goes to Mavros Hayam, the place where he crossed the Yamsuf. Mavros Hayarden, where he crossed the Yarden. Mavros Nachle Arnon, where they crossed over the Nachle, the canyons of Arnon. Avnei Agavish, Bemorid Beis Chorin, the where the stones of Agavish, that where you go down to Beis Chorin. Ve'Eben Shebikish Lizrak Og Mel Chabashan Yisrael, the stone that Og Mel Chabashan wanted to throw on Klal Yisrael. Ve'Eben Sheyashav Aleh Moshe B'Shash Asi Yeshua Muhammad Ba'Amalek, the stone that Moshe Rabbeinu sat on when there was Muhammad with Amalek, the Ishtar Shalot, and the wife of Lot, Chomos Yericho, Shenivlov of Mekomo, and the walls of Yericho that were swallowed up in their place. These were all nisim that happened to Klal Yisrael, says the Braisa, Akulon Tsar Sheitin Hoidov, V'Shevach Lefnei Amakom. That on all of these things, you need to give thanks and praise to the Ribbono Shalom. You would make a bracha, the bracha that was referenced before, Baruch Shas and Nisim Lavasena B'Makom Hazeh. So now we're going to walk through what are all of these instances that you need to make a bracha on their occurrence. Bishlom and Mavaros Hayom. So it makes sense that when you have the where they cross the Yam, that's a reference to the Yamsuf Tichsiv, because it's written by Yavo Bnei Yisrael B'Sochah Yam B'Yabasha, that Klal Yisrael came in. This was Kriyas Yamsuf. It was dry. They were able to go in. That's obviously a nace that happened to Klal Yisrael. Mavros HaYarden, and it also makes sense that when they crossed the Yarden, we know it's a reference to the Siv, because it's written Vayamdu Akonim Nosei Aaron Bris Hashem B'Charava B'Sochah Yarden Hachem V'Chol Yisrael Ovim B'Charava Ad Asher Tamu Kol Agoy Lavers HaYarden. So all of that's the pasuk that describes when Klal Yisrael under Yeshua was going into Eretz Yisrael. Also, the Yarden was split, and they were able to walk on the dry land. So that's obviously a nace that happened to our forefathers. Ella Mavros Nachle Arnon Minolon. What is this case of the cross, the passing through the canyons of Arnon? Dechsiv, because it's written as follows. There is a somewhat enigmatic pasuk that's written in Bamidbar, which says, Al Kain Yeamar Besefer Milchamos Hashem Es Vohev Besufa Veshanacholim Arnon. So there's a reference in the Chalam Arnon, and it's a pasuk that it's hard to know what it means. I believe in Kiddushim we darshan in a different way, and there's also the pshat, but we're going to darshan this as follows, that it says Al Kein Yomar B'Sefer Mechamos Hashem Es Vahev B'Sufa Tana Es Vahev B'Sufa. What is that a reference to? There were Shnei Mitzorayim Hayu Davi Mahalchim B'Sof Machne Yisrael. There were two people. One was named Es, and one was named Hev. And they were Mitzorayim. They had Tzaras. So when someone has Tzaras, they have to be outside of the camp of Klal Yisrael. So therefore, Klal Yisrael was traveling through the Midbar, and they were behind. They were walking at the end. Kiavei Kachofu Yisrael, when Klal Yisrael was passing through the Midbar, Asu Amoroi, the Amori people came, Amabez, Nandal Amabez, and Abdi Lahon, Niki Rusa, Mitashu Bahon. So they made little, they dug out little spaces, little caves for themselves, and they were hiding in there. Amri, they said, Ki Chalf Yisrael, Hacha, when Klal Yisrael passes through, Rashi explains this was a very, deep canyon, there was only one way for them to go, and they were down at the bottom walking. So they said, when Klal Yisrael is gonna pass here, Niktalinun, we're gonna kill them. So one problem with their plan. So they're sitting there in their caves waiting for Klal Yisrael to pass. But v'lo havayadid ha'aron having maske kamayu d'Yisrael v'alim mamach luhu turi mekamayu. They didn't realize that the Aaron used to travel in front of Klal Yisrael and used to flatten the mountains in front of them. So basically, as Klal Yisrael was traveling, mountains topography would just change to make it easier for Klal Yisrael to go. So kivan da'asu aron. So when the Aaron came to this to this canyon where they were hiding out. Idabku turi bahadi adadi. The mountains came together in order to flatten the way for Klal Yisrael. So what happened? So they were in their caves and they got crushed. V'katlinun and they died. V'nachas demayil anachle arnon. So what happened? So when they died, they got crushed. Their blood went down, traveling down to the bottom of the ravine. So what happened? Basically, Klal Yisrael passed through. They were crunched in the stones. After Klal Yisrael passed through, the mountains restored themselves. But who was still there? Es and Hev were still there because they were behind. So what happened? So Kiasu Esvahev Chazu Dama, the Kanafik Mibeni Turi, that they saw, Esvahev saw that there was blood coming down from between the mountains. Asu Ramlu Hulu Yisrael, they came and told Klal Yisrael, you don't even know what miracle just happened to you. Va'amru Shira, and they said Shira, Hainu Dechsiv, that's what's written, Vasher Nachalim, Vasher Nata Lesheves Ar, V'nishan Legvul Moav. So, I'm sorry, V'eshed. So Rashi says Eshed is that it was, it poured into the canyons, the canyons that had moved to go over to Er or Ar, which was Moav, the Nishan Legvul Moav, and it drew close to or leaned support, meaning it came together at the border of Moav because this canyon was right at the border of Moav. So that was the nace that we say Barash Asa Nisim Lavasenim Makom Azeh. Okay, the next case in the Brisa, Avnei Al Gavish, that the stones of Al Gavish, my Avnei Al Gavish, what is that a reference to? So we say Tana. Avonim sha'amdu agav ish v'yardu agav ish. So he says that the words agavish comes from agav ish, which means on account of a man. So it's something that happened that there were stones that stood on account of a man, and there were stones that came down on account of a man. Amdu agav ish, what is the case, the miracle that they stood on account of a man? Zem Moshe, that man is a reference to Moshe. Dechsiv, because we write, the pasuk says, well, Ish Moshe Anam Ma'od, that Moshe, the Ish, was very humble. So you see a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu as an Ish. And now we're going to see where did this Ish cause something to stand. Dechsiv, Vayachtu HaKolos V'Abarod, that this is talking by the Makkah of hail, that the noises and the Barod stopped. Umater Lo Nitach Arzo. And the matar, the rain, but it means the hailstones, those that were in midair at the time that Moshe Davin should stop, they stopped midair. So you had stones that stood still for an ish. Who is that ish? That ish was Moshe Rabbeinu. That was the nace. Yardu agavish. Excuse me. Where do you have that because of an ish? That stones came down. Zeh Yeshua. This is Yeshua. The Chsiv has written Kachuchas Yeshua Ben Nun Ish Asher Ruach Bo. That it says, take Yeshua, who's an Ish that has the spirit in him. So you see that Yeshua is referenced to as an Ish. Uksiv, and it's written by He Benusam Mipnei Bnei Yisrael Heim Bemorod Beis Chorin Vashem Hishlech Aleim Avonim Gedolos. This is talking about the Amori kings tried to strike Klal Yisrael. And so the Pasuk tells us in Yeshua that they were running away from Bnei Yisrael and then in the Morad Beis Chorim, going down from Beis Chorim, and Hashem threw upon them Avanim Gedolos. So you see in Ish Moshe that they stopped stones, which was by Barad, and you see Ish Yeshua that Hashem took the leftover stones from the Makkah and Mitzrayim and threw them on the Amoris kings when they had attacked Klal Yisrael. So that's a miracle that you thank Hashem for. Evan Shabikesh Ogmel Chabashan Lizar Klal Yisrael. What is that case that we say you make a bracha? Gemara Gemiri La. It's a tradition we have. Omar Machne Yisrael. So Ogmel Chabashan was trying to attack Klal Yisrael. So he says, we're in the first medium line. Omar, he said, Machne Yisrael Kamahave. How big is the camp of Klal Yisrael? Tlasa prasi. It's three pras. So it's whatever, a couple miles square, a few miles square. Ezel, he said, Iak or Tura bar tlasa prasi. I'm gonna go uproot a mountain that's that size. V'ishti alayu, and I'm gonna throw it on Klal Yisrael. V'ikitat linu, and I'll kill them. So basically he figured this is an easy way to kill all of Klal Yisrael. I'll take a big mountain and I'll throw it on them, cover the entire Machne Yisrael, and they'll be gone. Azal akatura bar tlasa, obviously this is all metaphorical at some level. Azal, he went akatura, he uprooted a mountain bar tlasa prasi that was three pras square. Va'isi al reshe, he put it on his head to go carry it there. And what happened? Va'isi kutcha bricho lea kimtzi. The Rabbon Shalom brought, Rashi says, namalim were ants. Vinakvua, and they, so it was resting on his head. The ants came and cut out the center of this mountain. So what happened? If there's a hole in the center of the mountain that was resting on his head, it's going to fall down onto him. So it says, v'nachis b'tzavare, it went down around his neck. Okay, so he didn't like this. Haviboy l'mishlofei, so he wanted to remove it. So mashchi shinao l'haigi, so all of a sudden, he was going to take it away. His teeth came out and extended themselves and locked the mountain around his neck. L'matzi l'mishlofei, he couldn't remove it. V'hainu d'chsiv, this is the explanation of what's written in the third capital of Tehillim. It says, shinei rishayim shibarta, that the teeth of Rishayim you've broken. We're going to go with Reish Lakish. I'm Rishayim and Lakish. My dechsev, what's this that's written? Shinei Rishayim Shibarta? That the teeth of Rishayim you have broken. Al Tikri Shibarta. Don't read it that you've broken. El Shirvavta. That you've caused them to extend. So this was a reference to Ogmel Chabashan, that when he wanted to remove the mountain, his teeth extended over it and prevented him from removing it. Okay, continues the relating to Ogmel Chabashan. Moshe Kamahave, how tall was Moshe? Esther Amos. That he was 10 amos tall himself. Shakol Narga bar Eser Amin, he took an axe or a hammer that was 10 amos tall. Shavar Eser Amin, and he jumped 10 amos, so his height was 10. He took a 10 amos implement, and he jumped 10 amos. And Machi Bekarsule, where did he hit Ogmel Chabashan? On his ankle. The Katle, he was able to kill him. Okay, that was the nace that happened with Ogmel Chabashan. The stone that Moshe sat upon, the chsiv is written by Vyidei Moshe Kvedim, Vayichu Evan Yasimu Tachtov, Vayeshev Alel. So it says that the Moshe's hands were heavy as they took a stone and they put it underneath him and he sat upon it. So, this is the story, it's referenced in the Mishnayos in Rosh Hashanah, that it's the Psukim, but the Mishnayos Rosh Hashanah explained that Moshe Rabbeinu was sitting there and they were doing war, he had his hands lifted up. The Mishnah explains that as long as his hands were lifted up, Klal Yisrael would look up to the sky, they remember the Ribbono Shel Olam, and when they were believing in the Ribbono Shel Olam, they were winning in war. So in any event, where that happened, which is referenced by the stone that Moshe Rabbeinu sat upon, you would make a bracha, then a nace happened by Makom Azeh. V'ishto Shel Lot, that says you make a bracha on the wife of Lot, Shenemar v'tavit ishto me'achrov, that his wife turned from behind of a tehinit ziv melech, and she turned into a pillar of salt. We'll address this a little bit more in a moment. V'chomos Yericho shenivlu, the walls of Yericho that were swallowed up, the siv is written v'tipal achonu tachtel, that the wall fell on underneath itself. So now, says the Gemara, Bishlam Akula Nisa, all of these are great miracles. El Isha Shalom Paraniasu, even Lot's wife turning into a pillar of salt was a nace, but it's like a negative nace, so like a negative occurrence. So we say, the Gemara says, you're right, the Amar Bar Dynamis. It says, in that case, you're saying Dynamis, it was a nace, but you say it's a negative thing. Says the Gemara, but wait a second, the Braisa listed all these things and said that if you have kulam on all of them, you have to give ha'idah v'shevach. So says the Gemara, ha'idah v'shevach ketani, we learned that you have to give praise. So the Gemara says, tani al lot yal ishto, that you should learn that when you have to give a praise is on Lot and his wife, mevarchim shtayim. You make two brachas. Al ishto omer barach dynamis, you say barach dynamis that his wife turned to a pillar of salt. V'al lot omer barach zochet ha'tzadikim, you say blessed is Hashem who remembers the tzadikim because continues the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, Filu B'Shas Kasa Shalak Kodesh Baruch Hu, even when the Rabbanu Shalom is angry, Zocher Tzad Tzadikim, he remembers the Tzadikim Shenemer, as it says, Vayihi B'Shachas Elokim as Ari HaKikar, that he was destroying the Sodom and Amorah, the cities of the plains, Vayizkar Elokim as Avram, that Hashem remembered Avram, Vayishach as Lot Mitoch HaAfecho, he took Lot out of there. So basically what we're saying is that when one sees the Netziv Melech, it brings to mind both Lot's wife, who we say Baruch Dynamis for, and Lot himself, who we say Baruch Zocher Tzadikim, because he remembered Lot as a favor to Avram Avinu, who's a tzaddik. V'chomets Yericho shenivlu, they make a bracha that the walls of Yericho collapsed. V'chomets Yericho nivla, where the walls of Yericho, did they get swallowed up? V'han nafla, they fell. Shenemer, it says, v'yikish mo'am is called a shofar v'yaru, am trua gedola, v'atipo am v'achomo tachtel. It says that they would hear the sound of the shofar, and they would blow the trua, and the wall fell. It didn't get swallowed up, it fell. When it falls, it goes over like this. It doesn't get swallowed. So the Gemara says, "Kiven the pussy of a ruma ki adadi nenu mishum hachi ivlo blui." He says basically the wall of Yericho is so large that its height and its width were the same amount. So if you have that, if it's going to collapse, it has nowhere to fall. It's just going to still be there. So the idea was when it collapsed, it got swallowed up within itself, and they were able to go through. That was the nes. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Okay, so now what we're going to discuss is the following. This is the concept of benching Gomel It also relates a little bit to the toda that they used to bring in the Beis HaMikdash. But in any event, for those who daven Nusach Sfarad and Friday afternoon say Kuf Zayin, the Kapitel, you'll be very familiar with these verses. And since we're in Nusach Ashkenaz, maybe if you are a little less familiar, but it's a long Kapitel Tehillim, which is somewhat repetitive, but what becomes clear is that it's talking about four different things. So we're going to say as follows: Amrav Yehuda Amrav, Arba Tzrichin LaHodos. There's four people who need to give Hodah, who need a bench Vidu, who need a bench Gomel. Yardei Ayam, people who go down into the sea. V'Holchei Midbaros, those who go in the desert. Misha Yecholav V'Nisrape, someone who was sick and got cured. Misha Yechavish V'Veis Asurim V'Yatzah, and someone who was in jail and went out. So they say V'Chol Chayim Yoducha Selah, that all Chayim should praise you. Chayim, they say, stands for a Chola. Yardei Ayam, Yotzim Beis Surim, and Midbar. That those are the four instances where you would say Gomel. So Yardei Ayam and Yalan. How do we know that those who go down to the sea? Dechsiv. It's written Yardei Ayam Banias. In Kuf Zayin it says those who go down to the sea in ships. Himorau Masay Hashem. They see the actions of Hashem. Va'omer, and it says Va'yamad Rosara that he brought up a wind. Yalu Shemayim Yardu Tahomas, that they were going on the waves. They would go up to the heavens and then down to the depths. They were in the middle of a storm. Va'omer Yachugu V'yanuah Kashikar. It's moving around. They were moving around like a drunkard. Va'omer and it says Itzakul Hashem Tzar Lahem, that they yelled, that they called out to Hashem in Tfila through their Tzar Mitzukosem Yotziem. He brought them out from their straits. Va'omer Yakum Sarla Dmama, that it turned the storm into still waters. Va'omer Vayismuchu, and they were happy Kiyishtoku, that it had settled down. Va'omer, and then the pasuk says Yodul Hashem Chasam and Philosophy of Ne'adam, that you should give praise to Hashem for his chesed and for his amazing actions that he did for man. So you see that there, when you're in a storm in the seas, that then, and you get out, you should give hodah. Hochei midbar minolan. How do I know that those who go in the midbar should say gomel dechsiv? Because it's written toba midbar. They're lost in the midbar of yeshimon derech, in a desolate path. Ir moshe lo vanto. They don't find a settled city. Vayitzakol Hashem. They call out to Hashem. Yadrichem derech yishara. He leads them on a straight path. Yodul Hashem chasto. Then you should give hodah to Hashem. So you see that someone who is in the midbar also should bench gomel. Misha chalav nisrape. Someone who was sick and got cured dechsiv. Because it's written that vilum derech pisham, that the people who are fools, that they go in the way of their bad actions, may have a sayim, who may have avonus sayim, yisanu, and they're punished because of their avonus, of their averus, kol ochot tesav nashem, they're sick, they don't even want to eat anything, their soul doesn't want to eat. Vayitzaku el Hashem b'tzar lehem, they call out Hashem in their tzar, yishlach dvar v'yerpoyim, he sends his word and he cures them from their illness. Yodul Hashem chaso, you should give thanks to Hashem for his chesed. Okay, fourth one, Misha Yechavish Reis Nisur, Minolan. How do I know that someone was in prison should give hodah and bench gomel to the Rebbeinu Shalom Dechsiv, because it's written, Yoshei Choshech Vetamoves. Those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, Ki Himru Imrael, because they rejected the word of God or of a power, Vamar Veyachnam Amal Libam, that in their work, their heart is lowered. V'omer v'yitzakol Hashem tzar lahem, that they call out Hashem in their tzar. V'omer yotziyem echoshech chesamavetz, he brings them out from their darkness and the shadow of death, meaning they come out of jail. V'omer yodol Hashem chasdo, and he should say hodat Hashem. Ma'im v'varach, what bracha do you make when you bench gomel? Amrav Yehuda, baruch gomel chasadim tovim. Others have the girsa that we say nowadays, but you say the bracha of who did chasadim tovim. Abaya Amr v'tzarech lo du yikame asar, you need to say bench gomel in front of 10 people. That's why we do it by Kriyas HaTorah Dechsiv, because it's written by Yeromu B'Kahalam, that they praised him in Kahalam, Kahal is a 10. Marzuch Amar V'Trei Minai Rabbanan, two of those 10 need to be Rabbanan Shenemar, because it says, V'Moshev Zekenim Yahaluluhu, that in the, where Zekenim, which is plural, sit, you have to praise them, so at least two of those 10 need to be Zekenim. Maskevor Rashi asked the question, V'Ema Kulo Rabbanan, maybe they should all be Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, Miksiv B'Kahal Zekenim, does it say in a Kahal 10 Zekenim? B'Kahal Am Ksiv, it's Kahal Am, so only two need to be Zekenim, the rest can be regular people. Ve'ema be'asara shar amav trei rabbanon. So maybe you should say that there should be 10 regular people and also two rabbanon. So Gemara says kasha, but we don't have to get that. That either means that you don't need the two at all, or they could be part of the 10. We paskin la'alocha, if you can, you should have two, but if you can't, you can't. Rav Yehuda was sick, ve'isbach, and he was cured. Olagabi Rav Chana Bagdato came up to visit him, rabbanon, with the rabbanon. Amrile, they said to him, b'rich rachman di yavach nilan, who the blessed Hashem who gave you to us, that they were thanking that they had their Rebbe, v'lo yavach la'ofra, and he didn't give you to the offer, meaning you didn't die. Amar lahu, he said to them, such nice words, patrasun yasi mila'oduye, you've pattered me from needing to give hodah to say, goma, because you already made the bracha for me. Ask the Gemara, v'ham rabaya, but Abaya said, you need to do it in front of 10 people. So he just said it here, sitting on his bed when they visit him. They said, there were 10 people there. Said the Gemara, he wasn't the one who said it. They said it about him. He didn't say it. So Gemara says, he didn't need to say it himself to Ani Basrayu, amen, because he said after them, amen, which was his way of benching Gomel.